Amen. Amen. God is so good.
Amen.
All the time.
God
is so good. Before I start, I want to say thank you to all of those that took time yesterday to go by and be with Jamie's family for that memorial service. Thank you. If you had a chance to go by there, we really do appreciate that. I know the family does as well. That pastor said something really interesting. He said, your presence speaks loudly. He said, without saying a word, your presence speaks very loudly. Just showing up, amen, means something. So I appreciate if you took your time to do that. Amen. Book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1. Mark 3 and 1. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him. Man, I find this so interesting. Jesus walks into the synagogue, and the Pharisees, they're watching him. They watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? I love it. They're eyeing him, they're scoping him out. And Jesus knows the very thoughts of their heart. He knows what they're thinking, and so he instigates the question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the people that have gathered together here in this place in your name. God, as we break the bread of life, we ask you, Lord, let us do it precisely. Lord, let us hear the word. Not only hear the word, believe it. Not only believe it, Lord, but help us apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. God is good, and he's good all the time. Even on the Sabbath day, Jesus was working. The Pharisees couldn't handle that concept. They watched him when he walked into the church. The problem was there was a man there, and like other people in Scripture, we don't know his name, but we know his condition. It never says whether his name is Bartholomew or Matthew or Mark or John. It doesn't give us any name at all, but we know he has an issue. The issue is he has a withered hand. And I don't know if you've noticed people that have an issue, oftentimes they'll try to keep that issue hid. If there's something missing or there's something wrong or not quite as normal as it should be, people try to hide that. But Jesus has a way of finding those things that we try to hide. Amen. Sometimes we try to put it back and we try to act like everything's all right when it's not all right. And people ask us how we're doing, and we say we're doing well because we've been trained to talk positive, because we know nobody wants to be around negative people, Brother Perry. So we talk positive. We talk it up. All doing well. Too blessed to be depressed. And the whole time, our world's falling apart. There comes a moment when you got to stop and realize that something needs taken care of. This man went to the synagogue. I don't know how many times he was there, but this day that he came was different than all the other days. The reason this day was different, I'm not sure how long he had this withered hand, but I know this, he was in the right place at the right time, and the right guy showed up. So sometimes you come to church and you say, it's just a so-so service. Come back next week, because you never know what God's going to do, and you may have a date with destiny. Amen? Because when the presence of the Lord comes into a room, possibility comes with him. When the presence of God shows up, the rules change. Amen? When God walks in, he doesn't look at the statistics. He don't look at the way it has been, Sister Jewel. He doesn't look at what happened last Sunday. When he walks into the synagogue, if you've got an issue, you're at the right place. Because I've got a God that can touch your issue. I don't care how long you've hid it. I don't care how long you've dealt with it. I don't care how long you've struggled with it. I've got a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think by the power that works in us. I've got a Jesus that still heals. I got a Jesus that still delivers. I got a Jesus that still saves. I don't know about you. My God is not dead. He's still alive and he's still moving. Amen. He's able. And the enemy has lied to you for so long and told you this is just how it's got to be. This is just how it is. This is just how, there's no changing. It's not going to change. Nothing's going to get any better. You're just going to have to cope and you're going to have to deal with it. This man had an issue and he learned to deal with it. A withered hand is a dried hand. A withered hand is a hand that begins to shorten because of the paralysis in his hand. And I'm going to tell you what happened. The Bible says that he made it whole as the other. So his other hand, while that one hand was weak, let me tell you what happened with this man. Your body has a way of making up for your weaknesses. Your body has a way of adjusting. So whatever hand it was, his other hand in the meantime had become stronger. It's amazing that your body has a way that if you lose your hearing, your sight gets better. You lose your sight, your hearing gets better. Your body will begin to adjust and adapt so that you can get. I'm not talking about evolution. I'm talking about adaptation. You have a way of doing that in this other hand. You lose one hand, your other hand begins to take up the slack. And it gets stronger. And in your trial and in your struggle, there are things in you that are getting stronger. You keep trying to hide the weakness, and God has a way of taking weakness and making you stronger through your weakness. Man, preach. What do you mean? When I'm weak, he's strong. When he prayed, God, take this away from me, the apostle would pray, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Three times he asked God to take it away. But God told him no, and he said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I know you got weakness, but this ain't about you. This is about God's strength that can move in your weakness. Oh, he went to church the right day. You might be at the right place today. The problem is we don't want to hide. I told y'all this story. I'm going to tell it to you again. We went on a 28-mile hike. I'm a big old boy to be going 28 miles. My pack weighed 35 pounds. We were walking through the woods and camped out and walked again. Her last day, it was all downhill. I'd rather climb a mountain than go down a mountain any day of my life. You know them hiking poles? I don't need them unless I'm going down here. They're like canes. We got down to the bottom of the hill, and we got in Darren's truck, and we sat there, and we rode out, all four of us. You know what's impressive about that whole hike? My pack was 35 pounds, and I carried it for days. Tracy's was 25. And she kept up. That don't impress y'all, man. She's like, she was like, go, girl, you get it. We got done. We get done with the hike, and we sit in a truck. Let me tell you what happens after you walk that long and sit down. I don't know exactly the health terms for it, but stuff locks up. Stuff that was moving a few hours ago begins to rust. We decided to stop at a gift shop. We opened the door and I was like, I don't know. And we got out. And even Ian, a young man, I looked over and he got out and he went, oh. It's like, thank you, Jesus. So glad he was hurting too. And we're walking through this shop, And he made the most profound statement. He says, you know what I feel like? I said, what? He said, I feel like an alien. He said, I'm just trying to fit in and act like there's nothing wrong with me. And I said, I feel the same way. I mean, I wanted to walk like this, but I was trying to make it look like everything was all right. Because we got this thing about us. I mean, we just hiked 30 miles. It's okay to hurt people, but we're trying to hide it from all the people at the gift shop. He said, I feel like an alien. I said, me too. What is wrong with us that we always try to hide what's wrong? Why is it that we try to walk around and act like everything's all right and deep down there's something hurting? Oh, man, if there was a chair there, I believe I'd had somebody push me. But no, I wouldn't. I would have just kept going through there because we try to hide it. What is going on in your life that you've been hiding? What is it that you try to put up a front and let the world know that everything's okay? The first way to fix a problem is to admit that there is a problem. Amen. Oh, man, I want to get somebody healed today. Because we serve a God that still heals. You know what I kept telling Ian? Motion is the best lotion. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. It'll get better. Let me tell you something. You may have something going on right now that you can't fix. Keep moving. It's not going to help you. Keep acting like it's not there isn't going to help you. No, but you're at the right place today because I'm going to talk to you about a Jesus that knows exactly what you have behind your back. He knows exactly what you've been hiding in your pocket. He knows that thing that you've been struggling with. And I want to tell you, you may want to hide it in front of us. You don't have to hide it in front of him. As a matter of fact, he already knows it's there. How do I know he knows it's there? Because he called that man to stand forth, stand out. That means that man was in the crowd. He wasn't trying to stand out. He was trying to be back. He says, stand forth. He's calling you. I want to call you out in the name of the Lord so that you can take care of whatever that is that needs taken care of. Here's the issue. We all got weaknesses. Isn't it amazing that there can be part of you that is doing so good, and then there's other parts of you that you struggle with? Amen. And it's so awkward to deal with those things. My weakness in ping pong was my backhand. I didn't like working on it. Never wanted to work on it. So when they hit it to that side, I had a way of coming over here. That is not healthy. And it may work with a slow guy, but when somebody really nails one through there, you don't have time. And eventually your weakness will get you because you don't want to work on it. It's awkward when you begin to work on it. It's awkward when you stand forth. Right now, you got to admit that some of us didn't go to the altar the first time Jesus called us because we was concerned about what people would think. Your eternity is riding on your decision, and you're worried about what somebody else would think. Oh, let me go a step farther. Even as Christians, sometimes we need to come to the altar. And we won't go because we're afraid of what our family. Listen, if you're in this family and somebody goes to the altar, we've learned this ain't a place of shame. It's a place of power. When I see a person go to the altar, it's the same as seeing somebody stop at a gas station. What are they doing? They're getting filled up because they know they got a journey ahead and they're not going to go empty. When I see somebody at the altar, I look at it like they're getting plugged up because they know they need to get recharged, and there's a God that's able to recharge you. When I see a person at the altar, I know things are going to be altered because they're getting plugged in to a God who is able. You don't have to have an altar call to pray at the altar. But oh, we're so ashamed. Because how many times has somebody went to the altar and you said, wonder what they've been doing? I ain't going to lie to you. My kids go to the altar. Ian goes to the altar. I'm like, hey, I wonder where he's been. Y'all looking at me like y'all are so holy and y'all have these great thoughts all the time. And none of y'all are human. I see him at the altar crying. He's repenting for something. We better watch him closer. No, you know what? Thank God he's at the altar. Thank God he's got enough conviction to go to an altar. We don't know this guy's name, but we know his condition. Man, I preach this so many ways, but Dave, I know people. I don't know their name, but I know their condition. You say, there's old Pillhead. You don't know his name, but you know his problem. There's old Pothead. You don't know his name, but you know his problem. There's old Alky. There's old Wino. There's also, it's always a condition, and we don't know their name. Well, here's what's awesome about Jesus. He don't care the condition. Say it again. He don't care what the condition is, because he has never met a condition that he couldn't conquer. Dustin, he's never met an issue he couldn't overcome. So you got an issue. Man, I'm glad you're here today, because I've got a God that can take your issue and turn into a testimony. You may be strong in one side. Listen, it's not shameful. It is not shameful. I don't know how it works in most homes. Here's how it works in ours. My wife always gets the nicest vehicle. Is that how it should be? Here I am in my old jalopy, and she rides in a nice ride. Ain't no shame in my truck breaking down. It's old. You know what's funny? She ain't here today. She's not feeling good. But you know what? What's funny is sometimes when I work on it, she goes, how much money you got put in that thing? I'm like, you just ride your ride. Let me fix mine up so I can get down the road. Listen, you may be riding good in one section of your life. And then in the other section of your life, you got things that need fixed. There ain't shame in that. Let me tell you when it's a shame. When it's a shame is when the mechanic shows up and says, hey, let me fix this for you. And you hide your car around back and act like nothing's wrong. Pull that thing around and say, there it is, pal. Fix it. Here it is. He said, stand forth. Bring it out. Let me see you. Stand forth. Oh. The man comes forth. He says, man, we live in a broke world, man. This world is so broken. I'm nervous about next year. I'm not nervous about who gets in office. I'm nervous about how people act about it. Let me serve you notice real quick. They're all crazy. When you're voting for the less crazy. We live in a world where frogs have more rights than unborn children. We live in a world where bats are studied more than the unborn and are protected more, and baby whales more than baby humans. We live in a broken society. And I promise you, whoever gets elected next year is not going to fix all that. But I've got a God that's able to move and change things. We're concerned about the wrong person. He ain't running for election. He's already been elected. He don't need a council. He is the council. We're broke. We're broke. Man, I'm feeling good today. We're so broke that when people are really broken, Christians feel good about disliking them because they're broken. If I want to preach on brokenness, and I'm going to talk about our broke society, and I want to tell you how broke it is, man, people amen that. It's broke. It's broke. They're not going to fix themselves. It's so broke now that I seen an interview where a woman said her daughter was decided her pronouns when she was 3 years old. That's not a child choosing anything. That's a demented parent pushing things on kids that ought not to be pushed on them. So I feel good about getting aggravated and hateful about the parent when the truth is I got to see through the parent and see the devil that's driving it and understand this. There's only one hope for our generation, and it's Jesus, because he can break the spirit that binds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we got to fight against principalities and powers. Sam, intellect ain't going to get it done. It's going to take the spirit of God. Joe, I can preach to them and I can teach them and I can argue very well with an atheist. I'm confident if we sit down, I can smoke him. I seen a pro-life guy interviewing this fella about choice. I know it's ain't January, but man, I'm pro-life every month. That's why I preach the gospel. I'm pro-life. He said, do you think a woman should have the choice? Absolutely, I think she should have the choice to do whatever she wants. He said, whatever she wants. She said, so if she's pregnant, do you think it's okay for her to do meth? He said, no, I think in that case, it's okay for the Child Service Protection Agency to step in. Why do you think that? Why can't she do meth? Why can't she do anything like that? He said, well, if a person is legitimately trying to kill, and he stopped. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, man, if we could get these people to see the truth and really listen to what they're saying, what's the problem? The problem is they're blinded. They're blinded. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will, it'll make you free if you know the truth. I got the truth. I got the truth. So I'm going to quit arguing with them about their stuff, and I'm going to start telling them about Jesus, because I know there's a Savior that can move in. He's got to take the scales off. He's got to touch their mind. We preached at them long enough. We got to let them know how great God really is. Let me tell you about a Jesus that no matter what you've been hiding, no matter what weakness you got, no matter what's broken, no matter what's frail, no matter what's dehydrated, no matter what has no water, no matter what is empty, no matter what it is, I've got a God that'll say, stand forth. I'm about to touch you like you ain't never been touched before. There ain't nobody in this world can do you like Jesus can. Oh, glory. I pray they all get saved. Commercial. This is a commercial. How you doing on your witnessing? Have you led anybody to the Lord this year? We started this at the beginning of the year. We're in September. Time is winding up. Hopefully you've been getting them ready and you've been witnessing to them all year and they're just about ready to pick. Harvest. The harvest is what? It's ripe. Pray that laborers will be sent into the, to what? To take it. To take it. This world is looking for you. This world is looking for you. I don't know what the quota is, but we're going to set a quota. If we got to break out too many folding chairs, we're going to have to go to two services. If we get 100 people saved, where are we going to put them? And you're looking at me and you're saying, preacher, I haven't built that church. It's your fault. Let me tell you what we live in. A broken society. Can't find nobody to do nothing. You looking at me and what's going on? What's going on? What's your problem? You go find them. McDonald's can't find people. Wendy's can't find people. Nobody can find people. One guy said, the problem is we have aborted so many people that we won't have enough people to fill the workforce in 10 years. Think about that for a minute. My commercial's over. We're back to the sermon. Man, witness, get out there and get them. They're looking for you to show up. They're needing you to show up. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The problem is you got a withered hand, and the enemy's got you looking at your broke down truck. And over here you got a car that's running fine. Drive it, man. Do you think you're ever going to be walking in a place of perfection on this earth? Do you think you'll ever be the total package? Or do you think you're always going to be dealing with something? Odds are, you're always going to be dealing with something. And as you get older, it changes. Can't even go hiking. Things go wrong. Stuff hurts that didn't used to hurt. Can I get a witness? Everybody that moaned is over 40. Things change. You're always going to be dealing with something. We live in a broken world. Brokenness. Listen to this definition. A state of strong emotional pain that stops someone from living a normal or healthy life. Are you carrying around emotional pain that stops you from doing what God ordained you to do? Preacher, you don't know how bad it hurts. I know a God who's able to heal the hurt. And you say, well, no, this kind of hurt will never go away. I'm not telling you. I'm saying God has a way of giving you all comfort. Brokenness, fractured, disabled from service. Psalms 34, 17 through 9. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their. Say it again. Who? Their what? All their what? Troubles. Who's in trouble? The righteous. The righteous cry. And the Lord, if you're in trouble, that don't mean you're not righteous. Preacher, I don't understand. I raised my kids right. I put them in church. I made them go to Sunday school. I beat them when they were wrong. I done it all. I didn't spare the rod. I did what I believe God, and he said that if I would raise them up, they'd never depart, preacher. But my kids are lost. Did I do something wrong? No, there's a devil. There's a devil. Say it again. There's a devil. There's a devil. So what we got to do is stop declaring war on our children and declare war on the devil. We got to declare war on the enemy. How do you do that? You have spirit-filled services where the enemy has to take a back seat, and that spirit can't function where the spirit of the living God is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a what? Come on, y'all, help me. A what? Louder. See, y'all don't even want to say broken heart. I got to hide it. What's that next verse? Broken heart. Broken heart. I don't have a broken heart. I'm perfectly fine. No, you ain't. But here's what's really cool. If your heart's broken, where's the Lord? Wow. What does that mean? That means if you need Jesus, go get your heart broke. Problem is, some of our hearts are broken and we won't admit it. We won't invite him in. I got this. I got this. You don't have this. We was riding through the woods one day with my uncle, and a tree limb was sticking out. Hit his windshield. And man, we hit it just right, and it cracked it from one side to the other. And I could see the he was disgusted. He was so mad. I looked over at him and he went, "That's all right." I was like, "Nah, it ain't all right either. I can see it." "That's all right," he said. "Nope." I looked at my brother and I said, "He's mad." He was like, "Yeah, he's mad." "That's all right." That's what we do. We got things that are broken. We're like, "It's all right. It's all right. It's all right." It's not all right. Oh. Are you hurting? You don't have to leave here hurting. Did somebody do you wrong? It wasn't nothing you did. A spouse, a family member, a coworker, a pastor, a deacon. Have you been done wrong? And you try to hide it? When you go to the doctor, what do they ask you? "What's wrong?" "That's what I'm here to find out, Goofy." "What's wrong?" "Well, let me show you. Let me show you. This has been," and you tell them. But to Jesus, we just, "Nah, man, not today. Not today. Not today." I don't want you to leave that way. Because you know what he can do? He can take that brokenness and make it whole like the other part. Now, we've already learned the other part has been coping, and it's stronger. So he brings the weakness and makes it as strong as the strong point. Wow. Amen. Who knew? I don't know why God does it this way, but it's just the way God does it. God chooses a barren woman to bring forth a prophet. Does that make sense? It looks like he'd have found old Fertile Myrtle. No, he don't. He goes and finds a barren woman that has to go to the temple, cry her eyes out until she looks like she's drunk, and that's who he chooses to have Samuel. He could have chose Saul to go down and fight Goliath, but he didn't. He found a little boy to come down there who didn't even have armor that would fit him. He chose him to come down there and fight Goliath. Why does God do that? He didn't pick a preacher that was on fire and ready to take on the world, take on hell with the squirt gun, as I always say. He didn't find that. No, he found a backslider to go down and preach to Nineveh. Does that make sense to you? That's just how God rolls. That's just how he does it. He could have found a woman that had all kinds of kids, but no, he found a virgin to bring forth Jesus. So you're saying, "Preacher, things are hard right now." That means God might be in it. "It looks impossible right now, God. It looks impossible right now." That means God might be in it. "I don't see any way out of this." That might mean God's right in the middle of it, about to do something that'll absolutely blow your mind so you'll know that God did it. He tells a blind man to go wash. Who does that? "Go wash in the pool." Where's the pool? He tells a man with a withered hand to stretch out his hand.